Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh, that's Chuck, and this is Stuff You Should Know. We're about to tell you some stuff you should know, aren't we, Chuck?
We are. You never intro our title like that. I like that.
It's new. I tried it before. I know that you like it, which is why I instituted it.
I do.
I'd love to titillate and arouse you. Yeah.
Moving on.
Chuck, have you ever heard of a guy named Philip K. Dick?
Yes. Absolutely. He's an author, correct?
Yes.
He wrote Blade Runner, correct?
Well, do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
Right.
Which was made into Blade Runner.
Exactly.
And he wrote Minority Report and A Scanner Darkly, some other ones you may have heard of. Good stuff. And if you can't tell yet, he was a science fiction writer. One of the more notable things of Dick's life, one of the more notable aspects of Dick's life was that at one point he became possessed by a being.
Really?
Another intelligence. He called it like a super alien or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it basically took him over and got his life in order. He was a total pill head. Loved to drink wine. Really just kind of chased friends off. He just wasn't a really pleasant soul to be around.
Right.
And this alien kind of comes in and takes him over. And all of a sudden, he's like getting, you know, back pay from publishers.
Wow.
He's like writing more. His office is cleaner. I think he started wearing ties. And just all around, basically, this thing got his life in order.
Right. And it wasn't Scientology or anything?
No.
Interesting.
As a matter of fact, I think he may have been a critic of Scientology. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But he was possessed. He believed it till the day he died that something had taken him over and at the very least was helping him.
I've never heard that.
But yeah. So that kind of, I think, is a really good segue into exorcism.
Right. This was an exorcism that actually benefited somebody.
Well, he wasn't exorcised, and I don't think he needed to.
A possession.
Sure. Now, you know, I think for the most part, when people feel like we're inhabited by something, we feel like it needs to be exorcised, right?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got the demons running through you.
Exactly. Yeah. So we kind of, in the Western world in the 21st century, we don't really believe in spirit intrusion much anymore, right?
Some of us do.
Some do, true. But for the most part, the average American walking around probably doesn't believe that they're going to ever be, you know, taken over by a demon or something like that.
Yeah.
Or even an angel, probably.
Right, true.
But this isn't the case for much of the rest of the world.
Right.
It's very commonly held spirit intrusion can occur.
Uh-huh.
Remember when we were talking about carrying a bride over the threshold?
Right.
Spirit intrusion?
Right.
It can be a bad thing. It can cause a disease, illness, and it kind of makes you wonder, there's this dividing line that crops up. Is this really just a misunderstanding of a psychological problem?
Indeed.
Or is psychology missing the point when there actually is something going on?
Right. And then, you know, a lot of demonic possessions are really people that are psychologically distressed or sometimes even physically, and epilepsy and things like that. A lot of times are mistaken in some parts of the world.
Well, with epilepsy in particular, you can tell. You can throw somebody in an MRI machine and you know, look at the parts of their brain and see, you know, oh, yeah, this person's definitely epileptic.
Right.
Of course, the convulsions often give them away as well.
Yeah.
But with, you know, schizophrenia, say.
Exactly.
For many, many eons, that was viewed as a spirit intrusion or spirit possession, right? Which makes sense. I mean, you know, these people with dissociative personality disorder are different people at different times. So you can understand how that would be mistaken as a possession.
Sure. In the past, I could.
Sure, but still today, I kind of wonder, is it just a clash of worldviews, you know?
Maybe so.
Is a psychological disorder just another term for spirit possession when they're really both talking about the same thing?
Right.
And does it matter?
So that's an interesting angle.
Thanks, buddy. So the point is this. Psychology has its own methods of exorcism. Antidepressants.
Psychotherapy.
Yes. ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, which is still used to this day. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I think we have the method refined a little more than we used to.
Right.
But they still hook people up with the electrodes and juice them.
Actually, I did know that because It happened on Six Feet Under. And
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm in season three.
Oh.
Don't tell me.
Then it definitely does not happen on Six Feet
Thank
Under.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. But so we've got this method of dealing with disturbance through psychology. We also have it through spirituality. And specifically, the Catholic Church is really, really big on exorcisms.
Yes. They're the only church that I know of that really still practices it. And
yeah. Now, I was raised Catholic, and as you get older, when you're raised in the Catholic Church, everything seems totally normal. This guy is wearing a robe and chanting and burning frankincense, and everybody else, you know, is responding with, you know, some weird, you know, mystical words.
Right.
The thing is like, as you get older, it becomes stranger and stranger, because as any Catholic knows, the older you get, the further you get away from the church, right? So you get a little more objective. You get an objective view of it.
I think that's not necessarily true for all people, but
certainly. So, when you look at the Catholic Church objectively, or Catholicism, it's deeply rooted in mysticism. And it doesn't strike me as odd at all that the Catholic Church is still very much believes in exorcism, in demonic possession.
Yeah, I believe it.
Which we should probably give an actual definition of demonic possession,
right,
as the Catholic Church sees it.
Well, possession or exorcism?
Possession.
Well, I know some of the telltale signs.
Yeah, let's hear them, buddy.
Yeah. Speaking in tongues a lot of times is considered...
No.
Pardon?
No.
It's not considered part of a demonic possession?
Speaking in tongues is considered an expression of religious ecstasy. Speaking in foreign languages that one's never encountered,
okay,
or dead languages.
Right.
That's an example. I actually said
speaking in foreign tongues. I just said it very quietly.
Oh, the foreign was it? Yeah. Was the foreign silent?
Foreign was it silent?
Yeah.
That is true. Knowing things that a person has no way of knowing.
Yeah, like what the Pope's wearing at any given time.
Right. Sure. I bet he's wearing a robe and a tall hat. That's what I
well,
possessed?
No, underneath the robe. Oh, wow. If you can call that, I imagine they're going to be like, yeah,
you know
too much.
Physical strength beyond what you normally would have.
Which we've addressed as well.
Right. Yeah. And a violent aversion to God, the Virgin Mary, or a cross, or other religious images.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. If you can fit all these, then there's a chance that you are possessed by the devil, as far as the church is concerned.
I didn't see in here head spinning around or vomiting pea soup.
No.
Or the spider crawl.
No, and of course Chuck's referring to the classic horror film, The Exorcist, which I watched actually this past Halloween.
Really?
Not as scary as I remember, but psychologically thrilling.
Yeah.
Great. And after researching this, I found that if you take Linda Blair out of the scenes...
Yes.
And you just have the exorcism, the rites of exorcism that are performed by Max von Sydow and the other guy.
It's accurate.
It is. It's very accurate.
Absolutely.
It's pretty much the opposite of the website Garfield minus Garfield, where if you take Garfield out, it turns out that John is either schizophrenic or addicted to methamphetamines.
Or possessed by the devil.
Possibly.
Full circle.
Yeah. So it's the opposite of that. A Catholic exorcism, or rite of exorcism, is a series of special prayers.
Uh-huh.
And actually, it's a combination of fairly familiar prayers. There's a lot of call and response.
Right.
There's dousing the possessed individual with holy water, and using crucifixes and relics.
Right.
Which can be anything associated with the saint, including a body part. There's actually the saints. If you were a saint several hundred years ago, you were destined to be chopped up into as many little pieces as possible and sent to churches around the world. Yeah, relics are huge.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Didn't know that either. Well, before this all happens, there's an investigation. I mean, this is when there's a real threat of a possession. You can actually lodge a query to the Catholic Church, and they'll send someone out. A lot of times that priest will come with a psychological evaluator, just to rule out other things. Sometimes they'll go to a medical doctor, but they actually do a full-fledged investigation. And they said, I think, 1 in 5,000 turns out to be what they consider to be a real demonic possession.
Or at the very least, worth using an exorcism for.
Yeah, worth giving it a shot.
Yeah, I didn't want you to get the impression that I think that the church's approach to exorcism is hokey in any way. I think they take a very methodical approach.
They do.
And they rule out everything else that it could possibly be. I think if you decide to perpetrate a fraud, you know, like you're possessed by the devil,
right?
You're in for a really long, painful evaluation process,
right?
Where you really have to be committed to the bit to follow it through and
yeah.
finally get to the exorcism. And if you're basing it on movies, you'd probably be really disappointed,
right?
There's this book that this guy wrote. I cannot remember his name or the name of the book, but he was a sociologist who you know basically went to exorcisms performed around the country for several years during
right.
this research period. And he describes one where a guy named Warren, who is basically depressed, drinks a lot, really his life's pretty out of sorts, and he's come to believe that he's possessed by a diabolical presence, I think is the church vernacular for it. And basically the priest just prays for him, and you know there's the holy water and the crucifix and all that. And Warren just kind of sits there looking a little gloomy the whole time, and then that's about that.
Right.
And apparently in the book, Warren reported feeling like something had left him, which is good.
Sure.
It's a good thing. He said he felt fine, but it was fairly anticlimactic.
Right.
Like I have you said, that, no head spinning or anything.
I have that book title if people want to read it. It's called American Exorcism, Expelling Demons in the Land of Plenty by Michael Cuneo.
Cuneo. Let's go with Cuneo.
Yeah.
Kashkari. Yeah, they're kind of anticlimactic.
Right.
But if at the end people like Warren feel like that their life has changed, that, you know, if it's just using their faith to maybe manipulate them even if there's no intentional manipulation, but if that's really what's going on
right.
in the most objective view, how could it hurt? You know, why don't
exactly.
we just run around performing exorcisms all the time?
I have an answer for you.
Lay it on me.
Sort of. Because there aren't enough priests, really, to go around that are capable of doing this. The Catholic Church actually appointed 10 priests in 1996, and I think there was already previously one, the only guy doing exorcisms. So there's now 11 at that time, at least. And they have a group called the International Association of Exorcists.
I
and
noticed
they,
this.
Yeah, they meet every year.
They have
in
a quarterly
Rome.
Newsletter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would do to get my hands on that newsletter?
Yeah.
Apparently, they share tricks of the trade
uh-huh.
and tips for one another for
right.
exorcisms.
Yeah.
And I would love to get my hands on that.
Right. I'd love to sit on one of those meetings. But that's a lot of fun.
It is. You know the that's one reason why. You know, we just don't have, or the Catholic Church just doesn't have the manpower to go around performing exorcisms.
Right.
But also, there's a couple other problems with exorcism as far as, you know, controversy generated by them. One is what we've talked about, the psychology versus religion clash.
Right.
Which has been going on pretty much since medicine came about.
Uh-huh.
And basically labeled everybody else as witches or, you know, at the very least simple or what have you, archaic, primitive.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one problem. If we just ran around performing exorcisms, and there were people who had very treatable psychological disorders.
Exactly.
You know, would the exorcisms work?
Right.
Or would pharmaceuticals be better? Some sort of, you know, immersive therapy be better
right.
for them? So it could actually do damage.
That's true.
Which is why the church, I imagine, has psychological evaluations done.
Right.
And these are done by professionals, from my understanding as well. It's not like the priest is like, hey, are you crazy?
Right, right. They get a psychiatrist or psychologist outside
right.
of the Catholic Church.
The other problem is there are groups that do exorcisms for profit.
Yeah. And this is where it gets a little, I don't know, greedy.
Possibly.
Fake, maybe.
There's one group that is well known for their exorcisms. There's a guy named Bob Larson.
Yeah, Bob Larson Ministries.
He actually has a show called The Real Exorcist on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Uh-huh. That should be your first clue right there.
Exactly. He runs the Spiritual Freedom Church,
uh-huh.
as far as I know. And he does exorcisms. I don't know that he actually charges for exorcisms, but I think he's really good at drumming up donations.
Well, yeah, and he does this in front of a crowd, and he charges for tickets.
Does he really?
Yeah, because apparently you can get a family rate on your tickets to go see these exorcisms.
Okay, all
right. So he gives you a break if you bring the kids along.
Well, I was reading on the Spiritual Freedom Church website a testimonial from a girl from named Autumn from my dear esteemed hometown of Toledo, Ohio.
Let's hear it.
Apparently, the Spiritual Freedom Church rolled through town and held a mass, you know, exorcism or whatever spectacle.
Right.
And Autumn, it turned out, had been possessed by a several centuries old African woman named Mushita.
Okay.
Now, Mushita apparently means whore in whatever ancient African vernacular that her name comes from.
Okay.
And she basically was pretty much into committing acts of whoredom in, you know, reverence for an African deity.
Okay. So she became promiscuous.
Yes.
Is
well,
right?
It was really Mushita, but it was Autumn who was running around committing acts of whoredom. This is not my word, by the way.
Right.
I actually didn't realize whoredom was a word until just this very afternoon.
Is that her right there?
That's her. She's kind of cute.
Yeah.
So Autumn goes to see Bob Larson, who exorcises the demons, and apparently you could see an immediate change in Autumn, and she was very grateful. So again, we come to this fine line as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
If Autumn's no longer running around being promiscuous, as you said,
right,
she no longer feels like she's out of control with her life, does it matter whether it was an exorcism or antidepressants,
right,
or whether she paid for this or not?
Right, a come-to-Jesus moment, and a seeing of the light.
Does it matter?
No, there's all kinds of ways of reaching that moment of clarity.
I agree.
If you ask me.
I agree. So as far as I'm concerned, to each his own.
Sure. That's our motto here.
If you want to pay, yeah, it pretty much keeps us out of hot water.
Right.
So if you want to pay for your exorcism, there's plenty of places you can do it. Just go on to a Google search, and I believe you type in exorcist, and you will find what you're looking for.
And good luck.
Yeah. So stick around, because we have a new bit here. We like to fill up time as much as possible. We're going to call it Correction Time.
Right. It's a good title.
It's coming up right now. So, Chuck, we have a correction from one of our listeners.
Right. This was from a couple of our podcasts. We mentioned this famous study in Massachusetts.
Let's go to a clip of Chuck being wrong.
So what they've learned is that there was this big study. I know that you love this study, the Farmington Heart Study.
I love this study. It's enormous. It's sweeping. This is what a study should be like.
Right. So that's me, and that's my voice, and it is not Farmington.
No.
It is actually Framingham.
Not even, there's no ton involved.
There's no farm, it is a frame.
Yeah.
And this was pointed out by one of our listeners, Glenna Carpenter wrote us in. Thank you, Glenna, for pointing that out.
Yes, Glenna nice won herself a new Ford Focus, actually, for
she
pointing
did.
That out.
Yeah.
So if you want to point out something that we've done wrong, or tell us how much you like us.
Or hate us.
Yeah, more like us, though.
Okay.
You can send an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.